Okay, good morning, everyone. We are going to continue now with Megillas Eicha. I feel like we could spend many, many months on learning and understanding and uncovering the depths of Megillas Eicha. Fortunately for this year, we have 2 weeks to just get a snippet, a snapshot of the Megillah. And we'll continue on. We learned last week the first two psukim. We'll continue here with Pasuk Gimel. One sec. Okay. So the first two psukim, Eicha Yashva Vadad and Bacho Tifke Balaila, really are reflecting the emptiness of Yerushalayim. What Yirmiyahu is generating in writing Eicha is that he is referring to Yerushalayim as a living person. And he's talking about Yerushalayim as a real entity. He's not the only person to do this. We know that Yeshayahu does this as well. Dabru Alev Yerushalayim, Nachamu Nachamu Ami. Yerushalayim as a heart. Yerushalayim is the heart and the center of all of Klal Yisrael. And he is talking about the solitude of Yerushalayim, that it is quiet, it's alone, it's almana, its husband has left and maybe is never coming back. Perhaps all of its friends have become its enemies, and it's all alone. Now, Pasuk Gimel shifts a drop. And if you notice here, there's a samech, meaning there's a break in the psukim to highlight this point, that from Pasuk Aleph and Beis, actually it's after Aleph also, but there is a little bit of a difference in the nature of how we're referring to the Gullus, the exile. And here now, we are talking about what happens when the Jewish people are in exile. What happens now, right? Yerushalayim itself, many snapshots. The first snapshot is Yerushalayim itself is all alone. Just imagine, night after night, there's a young woman loses her husband, and night after night, she's all alone. She's crying at night. Nobody is there to connect with her. There's nobody there that she could reach out to because all of her friends have become her enemies, right? There's nobody. The house used to be full of people, and now it's empty. Galsa Yehuda, Gimel, right? Third pasuk is Gimel. Galsa Yehuda me'oni u'meirov avoda. Yerushalayim, or Yehuda specifically, has gone into exile. Galsa Yehuda me'oni through oni u'meirov avoda. They have come into exile through oni. What does oni mean? Oni can mean one of two things. Oni either means, as Rashi says it, oni either means impoverished, that there's a sense of Yerushalayim used to be capital city, not just only of grandeur and kedusha and holiness and spirituality, but also in terms of its wealth status. Think of Shlomo HaMelech and what he represented. Everybody came to see the Beis HaMikdash from that perspective too. It was a spectacle to see the tapestry and the stones that were used. It was a edifice. It was a building that everybody in the world wanted to come see. Galsa Yehuda Me'oni. Yeah, Yehuda is impoverished now. Umeirov Avoda, and through its hard work. Others say Galsa Yehuda Me'oni refers to Oni as in Inui. Inui is to torture. Is that Yehuda in Galus and through the exile is tortured and is subjugated, Avoda. What's fascinating here, and this Dr. Ziegler points out in her amazing Sefer, that Yirmiyahu is invoking language. Anyone know where we've seen language like this? Oni and Avoda. Where we've seen language like this before. In Mitzrayim, when the Jewish people were in Egypt, Va'avadum, V'inu Osam, the Bris Bein Abasarim between Hashem and Avraham, Hashem told Avraham, you guys are going to be servants in a land for 400 years, Va'avadum, V'inu Osam. And part of the definition of exile is that you will be subjugated and you will be tortured, right? So that is what he is reflecting here, using the same language, not to mean that it's exactly Mitzrayim, but what this tells us is that Golus has a certain blueprint or a certain flavor to it, and that is Oni and Avoda. And when the Jewish people are in exile, there's a certain subjugation that they are relegated towards. That is today anti-Semitism. That is today not, I was, especially in the 1800s, being forced to do certain things that are maybe against or not in consort with your religion. And that is those are reflections of exile itself. Meirov avoda. Hi yashva vagoyim lo matza manoach. He is found amongst the nations of the world, lo matza manoach, and he can't find a resting spot. Meaning, when you are where you're supposed to be, then you are comfortable in that place. You have menucha. Shabbos is a day when we're supposed to remove all of the worries and anxieties of the rest of the day, and it's a day of menucha. Menucha v'simcha, or la Yehudim. Shabbos is the day of Menucha. Lo matza manoach, the Jewish people can't find Menucha outside of the land of Israel. In fact, we learned, Rus, about 2 years ago, Naomi says to her daughters-in-law, who says, go back to Moab, umatzena Menucha. You'll go back there. I mean, don't come with me. If you come with me, it's going to be a long and arduous, journey. I can't promise you any more kids. I don't know what's going to happen to you in Beis Lachem when we go back to Eretz Yisrael. It's not for you. Go back to your homeland, umatzena menucha, because your homeland, where you grew up, where you feel comfortable there. You're not going to feel comfortable over here. Kol Ratfeha, Ki Siguha Beina Mitzarim, all of the people that chase us, Ki Siguha will overtake us, Beina Mitzarim. Beina Mitzarim, here literally, if we hyper focus on the Pasuk, refers specifically to the exile itself, that we're between the straits, right? Meaning it's a very Golus itself is a very narrow path. If you stray one way or the other, you're going to drown. You're going to get attacked. You're going to get acculturated within society, and you're going to lose your identity. It's a very narrow path that the Jewish people need to take to maintain who they are. If you lose that, you're lost forever. Not only that, Yirmiyahu says, Kol rotfeha hisiguha, that there are people literally chasing you to try to veer you off of that path. So the three parts of this pasuk are telling us three results of the Jewish people that are going to happen when the Jewish people are in Golus. Number one, it's going to be very difficult for us physically. Golus Yehuda me'oni mirov avoda, as physical and spiritual. Spiritually tortured. Spiritually, it's going to be very, very difficult for us. We're not going to achieve true menucha. As much as we think we're going to achieve true menucha, we're going to be chased from one land to the next through our entire lives. And third, korot fehi sigua, if that wasn't enough, there will be people chasing us, right, through our entire journey in exile. The palgemayim, you'll see it here, it's right on the side of the page, the palgemayim, which we said is Yaakov Leuberbaum, says something He writes the following on Kol Rodfei Hisiguha. Afilu chala sheva chalushim yochol asiga ashe rodef osam kol alei nidaf. He says that even the weakest ones of the goyim, of the those that are subjugating us, will be able to overwhelm and overtake us. The Rashi writes machmas oni. It literally means oni, as in impoverished. Others explain it that way, the other way. Now, what is amazing here is that we are in what we call the 3 weeks. What are the 3 weeks called in Hebrew? No? The 3 weeks in Hebrew are called the Bein HaMetzarim, between the straits. That comes from this pasuk. This is the only reference in Tanakh to this idea of Bein HaMetzarim, between the straits, which means between Shiva Sabratamas and Tisha B'Av. That is Bein HaMetzarim. So the Bali Chasidus, the Chasidus Rebbes here, say a deeper meaning to this pasuk. Kol Rodfeha Hi Siguha Bein HaMetzarim. If you notice, look at the word Rodfeha, you'll see here that there's a Yud Hey at the end. The pasuk could have been written Kol Rodfeha without the Yud. Still get the same word. So the Chasidus Rebbes split up this word. And they say, really, a deeper meaning to here is Kol Rodef Ka. Anybody that chases Ka, Hashem. Anybody that chases Hashem, he siguha. Anybody that yearns and wants a relationship with a Kaddish Baruch Hu, he siguha, will achieve it, will overcome it, will take it. Bein HaMetzarim. During this time, which is on one hand the darkest time of the year, in the darkest moments of the year, we have the ability to achieve a closeness that we can't perhaps achieve the rest of the year. If you've ever been through a tragedy, a tsara, personal tsara in one's own life, for some people, that is a makom of rifuk. It's a place of distance. I can't connect to people. They don't understand me. I can't connect to Hashem. Look what he did to me. That's not wrong. And the halacha recognizes that, right? That in shul, you move your seat back during the time of Avelos to recognize a distance between us and Hashem during this time. On the other hand, other people feel the exact opposite. During these times of tsara, of challenge, they feel closer to Hashem. They feel like I have no one else to rely upon except the Ribbono Shel Olam. The truth is, most people probably feel a combination of both. They feel a distance, it's a dialectic. You feel a distance and a connection at the same time. Kol Rodfeha Hi Siguha. Anybody that chases Hashem during this time, Ben Etzarim, Hi Siguha will achieve, will connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu during this time of the year. That is a deeper meaning of this pasuk. Continues on the Megillah. Darchei Tzion Avelus. Mibli Ba'e Moed. Kol she'areha shomimim, kohanea nanachim, v'suloseha nugos v'hi marla. Darchei Tzion Avelus, the path, right? The path to Tzion is Avelus, is mourning. Why? Kol she'areha, mibli ba'e mo'ed, because there's nobody that's coming for the festival. So what does it mean? Avelos is that Yerushalayim, at least it was a guarantee several times throughout the year for the Shlosh Regalim, there would be people there celebrating. But now, not only is the people in outside in Galus are empty, Yerushalayim is desolate, the pathway, the way of going back and forth, the travel to Israel is empty. And we think this is something that in the modern day, we think about a lot. We can go back 2 years ago to Corona, but we can also go and travel bans anytime there's a terror attack. What's the first thing that happens? People stop traveling to Israel, right? And then the economy shuts down and it's a big problem. I remember when I was in high school, they had vendors from Israel come to America to try to support them because of Intifada 1 and Intifada 2. The Chet Zion Avelus. It's empty. Mibli Ba'e Mo'ed. Nobody is coming to Israel. Nobody is coming to visit. And that's how the Ibn Ezra explains it. Ba'e Mo'ed. Shayu Ba'e Mo'ed. They would come for Yantav. Vatov Be'eni Shehu HaMikdash. Ba'e Mo'ed here refers to the base of HaMikdash. Why is it called, the base of the Mikdash called a Moed? Because the root, the shorash of the word Moed is Vad. Vav Ayin Dalid. Vav Ayin Dalid refers to a meeting place. And that is the deeper meaning of what we are missing with the base of the Mikdash not here, is that we don't have commonalities amongst Klal Yisrael. We're missing this element of the Jewish people. Kol sh'areha shomimim. Right? The gates themselves are desolate. The gates themselves are empty. Nobody is passing through. Kohaneha ne'anachim, the Kohanim who represented so much of the life of the Jewish people are grunting and groaning, right? They're tired, they're exhausted. There's nobody there. The Palgei Mayim writes, Ki ayidei akarbanos nisrabe agadusha bakohanim hamagrivim, right? The korbanos that they bring on behalf of the Jewish people elevate them spiritually. Ubemiutan nismayet akadusha. And now with the limitation of the korbanos, right, the kohanim are limited and are signed. Bisuloseha nugos, he mar la. What does it mean? Bisuloseha nugos, that the maidens themselves are. New ghost comes from the word yagon, are very unhappy that they are missing. These young women that are looking for their shidduch, they don't have them. They are missing that. Bisulo seha, new ghost, behi marla, and this is bitter to her. This is causing her to feel a sense of emptiness. One second, I want to see if the Medrash is here. No. Okay, let's go on. Hayutzareha. La Roche, Oiveha Shalom. Hayutzareha La Roche. The enemies of the Jewish people have now become the leaders of the Jewish people. Oiveha Shalom. Her enemies are Shalu from the word Shalva, which means to be tranquil. And this is giving the opposite. Right? Every pasuk here is reflecting a different person that was affected by the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. You have Yerushalayim. You have the Jewish people now that are in exile. You have the people that were involved in the Beis HaMikdash. You have the path towards the Beis HaMikdash. And in Pasuk Hey now, who do we have? The enemy. The enemy of the Jewish people is very happy. Hayu Tzareha L'Rosh. Right? The Tzareha is the enemy. Oyveh Shalu Ki Hashem Hoga Al Rov Pishara. Because Hashem has afflicted her. Who's her? That is Yerushalayim. Hashem has afflicted her because of all of its sins. Olaleha halchu shevi lifnei tsar. And the young children, the infants, have gone and have been taken captive before the enemy, because of the enemy. Now here, we go back and forth, but there's something new that this pasuk brings up that was not here beforehand. But before we get there, I want to just highlight one point, is that there is another aspect here, is that the enemies here, something is wrong in this pasuk. The enemies are experiencing shalva, which is really what the Jewish people, yishalom bechelak, shalva v'arminosayich. When the Jewish people are in their right state and they're doing the right thing, and we have the temple, and people are getting along, then the state, the high level that we experience, is something called shalva. That's that tranquility that people feel. Why we should feel it a little bit every day, but that's what we feel. Ki Hashem hoga al rov pishara. But who's feeling this now? This shalva? The enemy. They get this shalva at this moment. Yeah, Nathan, go ahead.
Has there ever been a time when the Jewish people experienced shalva?
I think so. We experienced shalva.
Not now.
No, not now. Has there been a time in the past few hundred years? No. Have there been moments? There probably have been moments. You know, you think of the moment that we were declared a state in 1948. But right before the enemies attacked us, seconds later, there are literally moments.
Very few,
but that's part of being in Gaulis. In Gaulis, that doesn't exist. It's not a state that we could be in. It's a moment that we could probably express. But here, who's not getting it? The enemies are receiving this. But here in Pasuk Hey, Hashem, or Yirmiyahu, is placing blame. Or responsibility. Listen, we are responsible for what happened. Ki Hashem hoga al rov pishara. Number one, this is the first time that Hashem's name in Pasuk Hey. I don't think it's so far off, but the first time that Hashem's name is being mentioned in the Megillah, and Hashem is saying, right, that we, Yirmiyahu is telling you, Hashem did this because we were wrong. We are responsible. And now, who is involved in this? The children. If you notice on the kinos, a big emphasis on the kinos are the children and the effect that the korban had on the next generation. There's a specific kinos that talk about it. There are stories in Chazal. We know that many children, especially after the Romans destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, many Jewish children were taken back to Rome and were sold as slaves and were treated like cattle and were mated with other people. Their children, times the korban, Abayis, that were sent on a boat, Gemara tells us again, and they committed suicide instead of going and being defiled by the foreign nations. And a big element is sometimes, adults can handle this, or this happened to them, they're responsible. They didn't listen. But what about, why should that, you know, come to the kids? Why should they have this too? And that's like a very hard thing, right? That's a very hard thing. So the Torah Tumima quotes the Gemara. I think it's Goran Shams. Torah Tumima writes, Amar of Yehuda, Bore e kama chaviv and tinokos v'yakach baruch hu. How beloved are the little kids, the children, before God. The Sanhedrin was exiled, the greatest of the rabbis of the Jewish people, and Hashem didn't leave with them. Galsa Mishmaros, the 24 groups of Kohanim were exiled, and Hashem didn't leave with them. The Kevin Shegalu Tinokos, Galsa Shechina. But when the children were being exiled, Hashem left with them. Oleha halchu shevi lifnei tzar v'yetze mibat zion kol hadara. That's the next pasuk. That all of the glory, all the splendor left Israel. The splendor and glory of Israel is the Jewish people. Are the children. Kol hadara, the beauty and grandeur. Right, we talk so much about the next generation, how important that is, and Chazal really depict that. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu focuses tremendously on them. Vayetze, last pasuk for today. Vayetze mibat Zion kol hadara. All of the beauty, we just said this, all the beauty and all the glory of Zion has left, has departed. Hayu sareha ka'ayalim. The officers are like ayalim, like stags. Lo matzu manoach, lo matzu mireh. They're like, there's no place for them to relax, right? Vayelchu b'lo koach lifnei rodeif. And they walk before their enemy, before their pursuer, without any strength, meaning that the person, the enemy, was pursuing them, and eventually their legs gave out. They could not, they don't have the strength. And the entire pasuk here, according to Rashi, focuses on this one point, that the Hadara left the Jewish people. This is not just a spiritual beauty, but the strength, the koach, the will to go on left. It was void from Klal Yisrael. And what happened as a result? We became like Ayalim. Ayalim, Rashi says, do not have a specific place where they graze. And at the same time, when enemies chase them, they just give in. When a pursuer chases them, they lose their energy and they give up. They have no strength, especially when they are hungry. And that's what happened to the Jewish people. They could not move on. They could not go on anymore. And they had no more koach. And you think about the death marches that happened in Nazi Europe all throughout the Holocaust, or towards the end of the Holocaust. And you think about Lo Matza Menoach, the Yelchu Belo Koach Lifnei Rodef. They went and they had no energy. They couldn't move anymore. And how this was literally a fulfillment of the prophecy of Yirmiyahu, not just then, but even in our generation, how they couldn't move before their enemy. They wanted to run away. They wanted to hide. And at a certain point, you can't anymore. You can't anymore. And you need to just give in. You need to give in. Does someone have a question? No. Okay, we are going to stop here for today. Torah Tzvimus is something very beautiful. Otsim Ritzono Shalmakom, Himosifim Koach. When the Jewish people do the will of God, Hashem adds more strength. The Kovei Hashem Yachalifu Koach. But now we weren't following in the way of Hashem. We weren't following the path of Hashem. And that caused us to lose our strength. We didn't have that energy, that vitality that that people need to persevere, yeah. That resilience, that grit. We lost all of that. And that was part of the Chorban. Nice. Okay, next year we shall learn Eicha, but we shall learn Eicha Le Halacha Velo Lamasa. It should be theoretical, but not practical, because we'll be celebrating in Yerushalayim. Wish everybody a great day.
Have a good day. Just one quick announcement. My response.